This man is my chosen instrument to carry out my name before the Gentiles and their kings. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, Ananias went, but he was very reluctant to go. He had heard stories about this Saul character. He was a very zealous Pharisee, and as a zealous Pharisee, what you did is you killed Christians, or you threw them in jail. You disturbed the works of the church, which in those days was called the people of the way. We still are the people of the way to heaven, the people that were called by Jesus onto our family, into the family of God. So we are the people of the way still. But Ananias had heard about this Saul, and Saul had come to Damascus to destroy the church. And now God says, Ananias, go to him. He needs help. And don't worry. He is my chosen instrument to do what I want him to do. And that is to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. 2,000 years later, what do we call Paul? The apostle to the Gentiles, of course. So he did exactly what God wanted him to do. But he had a terrible background from a Christian point of view. He was a Pharisee, thought that he was better than anybody else. He was truly very well educated, and he had a lot of wealth and power. He had grown up of a wealthy family in the little town of Tarsus. Tarsus meaning wings. What wings? The wings of Pegasus, of course, when they melted and fell down. Icarus, and those wings named the town. Both Paul and Ananias were God's instruments to do God's bidding. Now, I am a woodworker, not as good as certain other people, but I try. And I have a pegboard full of tools. Not a single tool jumped on the pegboard and took its place there. Not a single tool was free to do whatever it wanted to do. Actually, they were all under the ownership of the store managers. I had to go, pick them out, and pay for each one of them. And then I put them on my pegboard where I wanted. And by using those tools, I create all kinds of neat little things, like Windsor rocking chairs and things like that. But there is not a single tool that can do a thing without me holding on to it. They all have one thing in common, a handle. And the handle to you and me in relation to God is our willingness to serve God. Our humility to say, at your service, I am your instrument. Let it be with me whatever you want. And then we turn around and look at what God did by employing us. It is beautiful when we work in consonance with God, when we see ourselves as instruments like the people in the Bible saw themselves. Paul was now changed from a persecutor of the church into a believer in Jesus Christ, first of all, and then a proclaimer of the gospel. And what a proclaimer he became. He quit his job as a tent maker to dedicate himself 100% to proclaiming the gospel and teaching it everywhere. And he took 3 major missionary trips, journeys we call them. He was planning a 4th one into Spain when Nero got a hold of him. And according to history, Paul was sawed in half. This is what can happen to instruments of God. They are retired, but just the body, the soul goes with God, and there we wait for the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Ananias was a disciple of Christ, up in Damascus, pretty much lonely. There was not a strong congregation in those days. But God came to Ananias and said, I chose you to do a test for me. And so he had to go and pray with Paul. And Paul, who had become blind since the incident on the road, when Jesus appeared to him and he fell down and said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Why are you doing this? Now get up and go to the right street in Damascus and stay there until Ananias comes. And so he did. But he was blind for 3 days. And then, while Ananias was praying, something like fish scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see again. God does incredible things through his instruments. Imagine Moses with his stick, walking stick, and he strikes the water, and the water of the Red Sea parts. Imagine Joshua striking the water of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River's water piles up in an invisible dam. The water is piling up here. Here it ran away, and they went through in a dry foot. God uses his people to do incredible things, and he still is using you and me today to do his bidding. From the lessons we learn from several ancient instruments of God. Also John, who was the only one of Jesus' disciples that was not put to death for preaching the gospel. And he gives us a glimpse of heaven through the book of Revelation. Now, this Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. And I tease the boys because two of them have names named for Old Testament people, Daniel and Jeremiah. And two are from the New Testament, Luke and Stephen. And so the basic advice from me to them is that they ought to learn who Daniel, Jeremiah, Luke, and Stephen were. And there are precious lessons we can learn from them. Daniel was faithful to God, despite Darius saying, I am your God now and you have to worship me. And when Daniel said, I'll show you. And he prayed 3 times to his own God, which was the God of Israel. Darius grabs him, throws him into the den of the lions, and the lions circle him, make sure that he is safe, that he would not be attacked by any other animals, and war. I still think that they circled around Daniel at night and laid like kittens around him, and he laid on the soft bellies of the lions surrounding him and slept like a baby. One day I'll ask him about that. Jeremiah was a prophet that was very important in the history of the Babylonian captivity when Nebuchadnezzar had taken the people into captivity there with Daniel. Jeremiah went there and said, I know the plans I have towards you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future, not to destroy you. That was important for people that were desperate. And these words are still good for us. And then what happened to poor Jeremiah? They dropped him into a dry well and did not feed him. He starved to death. A terrible death for an instrument of God. New Testament, Luke, doctor of medicine. Did he practice medicine? Oh yes, until he befriended a certain apostle Paul, who had been converted by God on the road to Damascus. The two became friends, and when Paul was placed under arrest in Rome for 2 years, Luke went with him. And people were impressed by Paul. Wow, this man must be very important because he travels with his own doctor in tow. And so Luke would invite the people to the house where Paul was, in Rome under arrest, and he would preach to everyone, including the soldiers that were keeping Paul imprisoned, including some government officials that would sneak in and listen about Jesus Christ. So much so that he wrote later to the Philippians, he said, "You think that I might be to be pitied, that I am in chains, that I'm in chains for Jesus Christ? Would you believe even people from the court now believe because I am in prison? Don't feel sorry for me. I'm still proclaiming the gospel." And then Stephen. Stephen was one of seven people that they chose after Jesus' death and ascension. The 12 disciples said, "It's not right for us to serve food to the people. Let's choose some elders from the congregation." Stephen was one of them. But he was very educated. He had some solid confirmation instruction because he gave him a speech for about 3 pages in Acts, telling that this Jesus whom you put to death is now living and rules over the church. People said that's too much, so they dragged him out of town and stoned him to death. Each one of these instruments of God can be a good example to us and a comforting one. They stuck to their faith until the very end. And until today, we talk about them in the hope and the certainty that one day we will find them in heaven before the throne of God. The four confirmants today would be very wise this Sunday in learning from their namesake, from the Old and New Testament, all that they have done, and emulate in their own life, imitate in their own life the example of those people. Daniel, Jeremy, Luke, and Stephen. May God bless them as they join us in the battle of the Christian church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.